He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And that word marvel there is an interesting word. It's almost as if he's saying, I'm flabbergasted by this. I'm dumbfounded by the fact that what you accepted and what you believed to begin with, you've already, and the phrase that he uses there, you are so soon removed. Now, some believe, perhaps, that there was a couple of years from the time that Paul had gone to these churches and established them, and God allowed him to establish them until he wrote this letter. But he can't believe that false doctrine, false teaching has already crept in, has already come in. And not only has it come in, but they have started accepting it and believing it. And he said, it boggles my mind that you would do this, to think that you accepted what you accepted, you trusted Christ, you were on the right track, you were believing the right things, and then some people came in and said some things, and you've gone after that. And of course, he talks about another gospel, because there's really only one gospel. We mentioned that, talked about that a couple weeks ago. And he said, look, if we are an angel from heaven, if you hear anything else other than what you heard originally from us, don't believe it. And don't go after it. It's not legitimate. It's not the gospel. It's not the true gospel. And so don't go after it. And he's saying, look, I want you to make sure you get it right. Okay? I want you to get it right. Think about it. I read this illustration this week. I thought it was pretty interesting. Okay, let's say that you had a prescription to pick up at the pharmacist, and you went to the counter and said, I'm here to pick up my prescription. And the doctor said, well, we have it ready, or the pharmacist said, well, we have it ready. It's back here, and as a matter of fact, we've kind of changed our policy a little bit to be that you can pick whatever you want back here. You can look through the bottles. You can, if you like one color over another color, you can pick the medication that has the pretty color that you like. You could medication based on the size of the pill, right? You know, we don't like swallowing big pills, so we'd all go for the little ones. Or pick the medication perhaps that you don't have to take as frequent maybe as another one, but it's your choice. You go right on ahead. Well, that would be kind of silly, wouldn't it? That'd be kind of foolish. It would be actually very dangerous, wouldn't it? Because other than and what's on the label, and knowing what you have taken and what you're familiar with, or perhaps what the doctor prescribed, you wouldn't know what all these other medications were. You would have no idea what the side effects were. You wouldn't know what they were treating, and you could possibly pick something that would be life-threatening and dangerous. May I say, it's no different with the gospel. It's a very dangerous thing to broaden the gospel to include a lot of things that it should have never included to begin with. And it's not the gospel is not a smorgasbord of belief. It's not whatever way fits your lifestyle or whatever way fits your opinion on getting to heaven. It's not that at all. It's a very narrow thing. And that's a very good thing, okay? It's a very good thing when you walk into the pharmacy and the pharmacist says, here's your prescription. They read, you have any questions, they explain what it's for, they tell you how often to take it, and they go through all the litmus test of what you need, and you look at it, you say, okay, thank you very much, you go home, you take it, and you feel better, right? So it's interesting how, if we're not careful, we can get it on this level here, but miss it on the level that God has for us in the scriptures and what the Bible actually says about these things. And so we think to ourselves, well, yeah, that makes sense. That would be really silly for, me to walk into an operating room when I need surgery and the doctor says, so I'm just going to pick at random what I want to operate on today. No. It's my foot, doctor. My foot needs operated on. Well, I just figured your elbow looked like it needed some help too, No, it doesn't work that way, right? Look, the gospel doesn't work that way either. And so it's a very narrow thing. And Jesus himself said, of course, as we talked about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter himself said in the book of Acts, there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved except the name of Christ. And so there are not many ways to heaven. There's not a litany of opportunities for people to be able to accept any idea or philosophy or anything like that to get them to get them to heaven. It's one way, and it's through Christ, and it can only be that way. And so he says in verse number 11 here, notice the phrase here, he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." He's saying, look, I want to certify you on some things. I think I touched on this last week about the fact that we receive certified letters or certified packages in the mail. What does that mean? That means it's official. It's guaranteed. That means that it hasn't been tampered with. That means it's been protected, right? If you send a certified letter, you pay extra for that, and you can buy insurance on it. You can do certain things, and you know that it's going to get to where it needs to the person it needs to get to, when it's supposed to get there. It's a certified circumstance. And so Paul says, look, I want to certify some things. I want to certify you in some of these things. Notice again there in verse number 8, he says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." So what was he certifying here? He was certifying the fact that it's possible for anybody to err, even himself. It's possible for anybody to get off track. And Paul said, even myself, if even I come and preach something to you that is different than what I gave you to begin with. So what had happened here? Verse 6, we read it. "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ under another gospel." What happened? They erred. They got off track. And he said, we need to get back on track with some things, but I want you to understand something. You have to be very aware of the fact that you can get off track very easily if you're not careful. If you're not aware of what's going on and you're not measuring things by the scriptures. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He wrote to the church at Corinth here something very, very similar in chapter number 10. The first part of the chapter there, he's rehearsing some things that happened to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, particularly in the wilderness, and some of the wandering and the things that went on there. Look at verse number 11, 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 11. "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples." Well, that's interesting. Paul said, look, I'm realizing that the things that happened to the nation of Israel that God allowed to happen to them were for my example. He goes on to say, "And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Now watch this, verse number 12. "Wherefore," so because of that, "wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed," what? "Lest he fall." You see, if we're not careful, the minute we think and we rely on our own assurance instead of who God is and what we have in Christ, if the minute we rely on ourselves, guess what's going to happen? We're going to fall. "Wherefore," so because of the fact that we have everything that happened in the past as an example, and it was written for our admonition, is written to admonish us, to challenge us, and to structure our lives as a result of what happened to them, "wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Remember, Paul said, what I glory in Christ. He said, I don't glory in anything else. If everything else is a false foundation. Everything else is sinking sand. And it has to be upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And I want to certify you with the fact, he said, I'm certifying you. I want to guarantee you that if we're not careful, even myself, he said, and I say it for myself, even myself, if we're not careful, we can get sidetracked, we can err. So go back to Galatians chapter number 1. He said, I certify you, brethren. He said, you've already been so soon removed, But I want you to know that if you hear anything else other than what you heard originally, that was the truth, don't believe it. Don't accept it. Look at verse number 15. Look at the next thing he wanted to certify them about. He says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." What was he certifying here? He was certifying the fact that God was at work before he even knew God was at work. You got to remember, who was the Apostle Paul? He was Saul of Tarsus, right? He was the persecutor of the church. Notice what he said there in verse number 13. He said, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure, in other words, you couldn't even imagine the things that he did. In other words, they weren't all recorded, okay? He did things behind the scenes that nobody knew what was going on. Beyond measure, he said, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But then he said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb." You know what he was doing? He was recognizing the fact that God had a plan for his life before he even knew God had a plan for his life. He was a persecutor of the church. And yet he was admitting the fact that from the time he was born, it had already been ordained of God for him to become a preacher of the gospel. He just didn't know it until he was on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. He didn't realize it. Didn't know anything about it. So he says, look, I want you to understand something. I want to certify you, okay? Let's get this thing guaranteed. God is at work. And God is trying to accomplish something in the world. And he's using, if we'll allow him, he's using us to do that. You see? When I was thinking about this, I thought about, Aaron and Miriam in the Old Testament. Remember how they were critical of Moses because he had taken an Ethiopian bride. Remember that? And God gave them leprosy as a result of it. And one of the things that God said there, and paraphrasing obviously, of course, but the principle there, he said, look, what you need to understand is I have chosen Moses and I am doing a work. And it's not because you've criticized Moses, it's because you're trying to hinder what I'm doing. You know, you're trying to stop what I'm trying to accomplish through my people, through the nation of Israel. And as a result of what you've done, that needs to be punished. You see, look, it's not about necessarily as far as other people. Now, we ought to be kind and loving and forgiving. We know all of those things, but it's not necessarily how we interact or treat one another, although those are important. But what's worse than that is when we do or say things that hinder what God is trying to accomplish. You see, and Paul said, I want you to understand something. That's what I was doing. He said in verse 14 there, he said, I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation. He said, it was a money-making endeavor for me. I was really at it. And those traditions that I was defending and fighting for, and I thought I was doing the right thing, I was doing it. And now, my opinion on this is Paul didn't understand what he was doing. And so what did God do? God gave him a chance, came to him, revealed himself to him. And what did Paul do? He accepted Christ and repented of those things, you see. So we have to be very careful about our actions and not necessarily how they're received by other people, but whether or not the things that we do and say are hindering what God is trying to accomplish in the world. We have to be very careful, but it's a great danger to get in the way of God. And so he said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He said, I didn't have to go ask anybody. I knew it's what God wanted. God made it very clear to me on that road to Damascus that I was to preach, I was to accept him, and I was to stop doing what I was doing and start doing something that I wasn't doing. And actually, the thing that I was persecuting and the things that I was trying to destroy, that's what I was supposed to start doing. And he called him several different places. He called himself the apostle of the Gentiles, we find throughout the New Testament, and other things. So what was going on here? He said, look, I want to certify something to you, Galatians, you people in the churches in Galatia there. I want to certify, first of all, that there's possibility that anybody can make a mistake and anybody can get off track. That error can creep in, if you're not careful, at any time. Secondly, I want to certify you the fact that God is at work and we desire to get in on what God is already doing in the world. Look over at chapter 1, look at verse number 20. He said, now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Look over at chapter 4 of Galatians. Look over at chapter 4 and verse number 16. He said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you. Now, who's they? Those are those people that were coming in and adding to salvation, adding the law or certain aspects of the law in order for them to be saved. Those people that had removed them from that grace, okay? So, he says, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. You see, Paul was saying, look, I want you to know the things that I'm saying are for your benefit. The things that they're saying are for their benefit. You see? It's to benefit them. It's to promote themselves. It's to grow them. It's to develop them. It's to affect them. But I'm telling you, look, again, we go to the doctor. We don't want the doctor to say, well, you know, your heart's not doing real well, and, hope you figure it out. No, tell me what's wrong. Tell me what I have to do to get better, right? Tell me the truth. I want to know the truth. Tell me what the truth is. But then when it comes to spiritual things, we want to soften everything and water it down and make people feel good. And look, there's nothing wrong with the truth. We're living in an age of information, but very little truth. A lot of information at the touch of our fingers, right? But very little truth. As a matter of fact, you know, we talk about AI, we talk about how that's affecting things. You can't even trust any of that anymore. We went through last year a little bit of a training about a year and a half ago now, I guess. And we had a security individual come in with a group of us where we were teaching there. And he said, they can actually now, whoever they is, I don't know. But he said, they can actually take recordings of your voice and call people on the phone as if it's you. It's amazing. It's scary to some extent, but it's amazing. All under the pretense that you're calling, and what they have found is they have found, of course, predator-type people and people trying to take advantage financially of other people and all that kind of stuff. You know, send me $1,000. I'm stuck in Albuquerque and I can't get out. I need $1,000 to get a plane ticket, you know. Well, I'm so sorry. You know, let me give you my bank account information, you know. And it happens to the point where, like, it's almost like you can't trust anybody or anything anymore. But you can trust the Bible. You can trust God. It is true. It is right. Look over at 2 Corinthians verse number 12, or chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. No, I'm sorry, chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, does it sound familiar? Right? Now, he's writing this to the church at Corinth. Wrote almost the same thing to the churches at Galatia, right? So he says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Wherefore? Verse 11. Why? Because I love you not? God knoweth. He said, look, I want you, this goes back to what he was saying in Galatia, to the churches of Galatia. He said, look, those other people that come and preach these other things that are not true, they're doing it not for your benefit, but for their own benefit. And he tells the church at Corinth there, he says, look, all the things that I did, it wasn't for me. It didn't benefit me. It was for you. It was for your edification, for your building up, for your glorying in the Lord. And notice what he says toward the end of the chapter there in verse number 30. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. I don't know why Paul, and there are other places where he made allusion to the fact that what he was saying was true and was the truth and things like that. I don't know. Maybe perhaps it was the fact that because he was such a persecutor of the Christians and such a persecutor of the church, that he had to affirm, look, I'm telling you the truth, okay? I'm telling you the truth. We won't take time to do it, but back in Acts chapter number 9, when he went to Jerusalem, they didn't accept him. Because they knew what he was like. They knew what he was doing. They knew he was a persecutor of the church. And the Bible tells us that Barnabas went and took him unto himself and encouraged him and helped him and took him to the leaders of the church of Jerusalem and helped him be accepted in the church there at Jerusalem. And then once that happened, then he was able to preach the gospel and, you know, God was able to use him. So maybe that's why. Maybe because of what he had done before and who he was before, maybe he felt like, and God, under his inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had him put these things in here. But he said often, look, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. So what was he certifying these churches at Galatia? He says, look, don't be afraid of the truth. Don't be afraid of the truth. The truth of the gospel message, the fact that it never changes, the truth of my call to the ministry, what God has called me to do in giving the gospel, the truth of what we're supposed to do after we're converted. All of these things about the truth of the Word of God, don't be afraid of the truth. I certify you, it's the truth. Now go back to Galatians chapter 1. Let me give you one more thing here. Galatians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. What was he certifying here? He was certifying them in the fact that we not just what God is doing in our lives and where we are, but let's get in on what God is doing in other places too. Let's get connected and get in on what God is doing in other parts of the world. That's one reason why we support missionaries, right? Now, yes, we're commanded by God to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth, both meaning at the same time. Well, physically, we can't do that, so what do? We get in on what God is doing because he has called somebody else to maybe perhaps another city, another state, another country, whatever it might be, and we help get them there and help do it that way. Getting in on what God is doing, not just here, not just in our church, not just in my life or in our lives, collectively or individually, but what God is doing around the world. He said, look, I was not an island unto myself in this, you know. Now, he says, originally, I didn't talk to anybody, I conferred not with flesh and blood because I knew what God had done in me. I knew I was a child of God, I knew I'd been saved. I didn't have to ask anybody about it. And so I didn't go to Jerusalem to get confirmation of the fact that I was supposed to be a Christian. I knew I was a Christian, okay? He said, I went to Arabia. Now again, I don't know what he did there. There's no record of the fact of what he did there. Some believe he did certain things, and that's all speculation. We're not going to get into all of it. But he went into Arabia and then returned again unto Damascus. Isn't it interesting that he went back to the very place where he was going to persecute people when he got converted? And if you remember in Acts chapter number 9, after his conversion at Damascus, when Ananias came in and laid his hands on him and his sight came back, he started preaching there in Damascus, and the people got upset and were going to kill him. And they, remember, they had to let him down from in a basket from, you know, down the wall of the city to escape out so he could get away for his life. So he's going right back to that. I don't know if Paul had, I don't know what his deal was, but it seems like he always was going back to places where they were trying to kill him. Now, I'm thankful that he was brave enough to do that, you know, and not be afraid to preach the gospel and all those types of things. But you know, if it's me, I'm going, I don't know, God, I'm just not sure about this one. You sure that's where you want me to go? What was he saying here? He was saying, look, I want to certify you the fact that it's not just what God is doing with me and in me and through me, it's what God is doing with and in and through others also. And I want to be connected to those things. I want to be in on those things too. So what did he do? Back to Damascus, back to Tarsus, back to Caesarea. You go back to the book of Acts, you find him traveling different places before he ever went on that missionary journey. Then he goes on the mission, what we call the missionary journey. Goes to Iconium and Lystra, Derbe and Antioch and Pisidia. He gets stoned, what they think, to death. He's not dead. He comes back and he goes back to the city, and then he goes to other cities, goes back to Antioch, goes back to Jerusalem, reports. What is he doing? He's connecting the work of God. He's connecting the work of God in his own life, for his own sake. And he's saying to these churches at Galatia, look, get in not just what God is doing where you are, but what God is doing in other places around the world too. And I'm thankful that we have a church that supports missionaries and is a passionate about getting the gospel around the world and getting a people to the mission field and helping them and strengthening them and supporting them. That's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. But what about you individually? Are you engaged in that in some way, whether it be throwing a dollar in the offering plate, or, you know, sending an email or a phone call to a missionary, let them know you're praying for them, or getting involved. The church I pastor in South Carolina, we had a printing ministry near us, just like we have one near us here, and we'd go over there all the time and cut. My job when I went there was to cut covers. But you know what? Every time that blade went down and made a cut on a cover of a Bible, guess what happened? It was effort put into getting the gospel around the world, you see. So there's more than one way to do it, is what I'm saying. And as God leads us, we follow him in those things. And we get involved in what he's doing, not just here, not just in Harriman, Tennessee, but around the world in getting the gospel to a lost and dying world that needs Christ. So go back to chapter number 1 there and look what he says again. Verse number 20, or verse number 10, I'm sorry, Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Notice the conjunction, but I certify you. So it's like a change in direction, okay? When I was growing up on one of the, I don't remember what channel it was, but they had Schoolhouse, am I allowed to say that word, Rock? Schoolhouse Rock, right? And what did they do? Conjunction, junction, what's your function, joining words. It's amazing, I still remember that all these years later, you know. What's your function, joining words, phrases, and clauses, you know. So what's the word, the conjunction, but joins two things together, but it's almost like a change, it's almost like a shift, right? Okay, so look at it again. He says, if I yet pleased men, verse 10, if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I'm certifying you. I'm guaranteeing it. I want to guarantee you. I want it to be established and sure of the fact that this gospel is not after me, it's not after man, it's after Christ. And we want to do what we can to get it to as many people as we possibly can. As quickly as we possibly can, right? And not allowing the hindrances to come and the devil to hinder those things as much as possible, and trusting Lord to give us the boldness and the courage to be able to do that. So I certify you. I certify you. Be certified in Christ. Father, help us with this truth. We thank you for what Paul wrote to these churches and what we have from you for us today. I ask you would help us to be guaranteed in what, not just what you've done in our lives, but what you desire to do through our lives. Father, help us not to be an island unto ourselves. Help me, Lord, not to think that we got it all figured out where I'm at. And no, Lord, help us to rely on you and trust you, and to follow you, and to please you, and to do what we can to be faithful in giving the gospel to a lost and dying world. Help us, Lord, in the days to come. We thank you for this time of year and what we're able to celebrate this coming Sunday. Lord, please prepare hearts and lives right now, Lord, to receive your word this coming weekend, and that souls will be saved as a result of our efforts and our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for